Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Yeah.
You know, we love to dig into thought-provoking stuff about markets and investing, and well, today we've got a really interesting piece to unpack.
Oh yeah, this one's a good one.
It's a letter actually written by Vitaly Katsenilson to his investment clients just this past summer.
Yeah, and he's actually taking a break from writing.
Yeah.
So he wanted to leave his readers with something.
Some insights, some things to think about.
Exactly.
And the really cool thing is that even though he wrote this a few months ago, it's still super relevant today.
Absolutely. It's like he was looking into a crystal ball or something.
Yeah, it's kind of spooky how accurate it feels.
Well, he starts off by comparing the stock market to a roller coaster.
Okay, I like that analogy.
Yeah, it's a good one, right? You've got those thrilling climbs.
Yeah, the excitement.
Exactly. And then those stretches of flat, bumpy track.
Oh, yeah, those are the worst.
He calls those sideways markets.
Sideways markets, okay.
And he argues that understanding these market cycles is key to making smart investment decisions.
So it's not just about picking the right stocks.
Right.
It's about understanding the bigger picture.
Exactly, the terrain you're navigating.
I like that. So let's imagine we're on that roller coaster.
Okay.
Feeling those ups and downs, but not really getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what a sideways market feels like, right?
Yeah, lots of volatility, but not a lot of overall progress.
So why does that happen? What's going on behind the scenes?
Well, he breaks down stock returns into a few key parts.
Okay.
There's how much a company's earnings grow.
Makes sense.
Then how their price to earnings ratio changes.
That's the PE ratio we hear so much about.
Right. And finally, any dividends they pay out.
Okay. So those are the ingredients.
Exactly. Now, if the PE ratio stayed, the same things would be pretty predictable.
Right. The market would just grow along with those earnings and dividends.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
What's the catch?
Human emotions get in the way.
Oh boy, do they ever.
When we get excited, optimistic, those PE ratios inflate.
Driving a bull market.
Exactly. But then when doubt creeps in,
oh,
those ratios shrink and we find ourselves in a sideways market.
Stuck on that flat track.
And what's really interesting is that it's not necessarily economic growth that makes the difference between those two market types.
So the economy could be doing well.
Right.
But the market could still be stuck in a sideways rut.
That's what he's suggesting. It's those changes in the PE ratio driven by investor sentiment that really make the difference.
So it's all about how we're feeling.
Yeah, our collective mood swings.
And based on how high valuations are right now, Katsenilson believes we're likely in a sideways market as we speak.
It's a sobering thought, isn't it?
It is a bit unsettling, to be honest.
And to make things even more complex.
Oh no, there's more.
He talks about this economic tug of war happening right now.
Okay, so it's like a battle of forces.
Exactly. On one side, we've got positive things like strong consumer spending.
People are still shopping.
And low unemployment.
Jobs are looking good.
But then there's the other side with rising interest rates.
Ouch, my wallet can feel that.
And all that debt we've accumulated.
It's like we're walking a tightrope.
It's a real push and pull, and it's hard to predict who's going to win. He even brings up events like the Silicon Valley Bank bankruptcy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As a reminder that even in a seemingly strong economy,
right,
there can be hidden weaknesses, and those past financial decisions can come back to haunt us.
It's like those skeletons in the closet suddenly bursting out.
Yeah, you never know what might be lurking beneath the surface.
And just to add another layer of complexity, he also talks about selective deglobalization.
Ah, yes.
Which is basically bringing manufacturing back to the U.S.
Right.
But he thinks this could lead to even higher costs.
Potentially fueling more inflation.
So it's a trade-off.
There are always trade-offs.
I have to admit, reading all of this made me wonder just how many different ways things could play out.
It's definitely a time of uncertainty.
It feels like we're standing at a crossroads with a bunch of different paths ahead of us.
He doesn't shy away from that. He describes a nirvana scenario where inflation chills out and things go smoothly.
That sounds nice.
Right. But he also brings up the possibility of a deflationary period similar to what Japan experienced.
The deflationary spiral. That's a scary thought.
It's definitely not something to take lightly.
Okay, but wait, before we get too caught up in the economic doom and gloom.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit.
Let's talk about NVIDIA.
Ah, yes, the chip giant.
Katsenilson uses this really interesting example to illustrate his point about how relying solely on PE ratios can be misleading.
Especially when valuations might be inflated?
Right. So it's not just about the number itself.
It's about the context.
Okay, so tell me about this NVIDIA example.
This is where he uses that clever car analogy.
Oh, I love a good analogy.
Remember how during the pandemic, car prices went through the roof?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Everyone wanted one, but supply couldn't keep up.
Right.
But eventually production ramped up, and guess what?
Prices started to fall.
Exactly. Supply and demand at work.
Okay, I see where this is going.
He's saying that something similar could happen with microchips, particularly the kind used in AI, where NVIDIA is currently the dominant player.
So it's kind of like the hot car everyone wants right now.
That's a good way to put it. Companies like Google, Apple, Tesla, they're all scrambling to get their hands on NVIDIA's chips.
Because they're essential for AI development,
And they're willing to pay top dollar.
making NVIDIA's profits look amazing.
And their PE ratios seem totally reasonable.
But
Yes, there's always a but.
what if that situation changes? What if those other tech giants decide they don't want to be dependent on NVIDIA anymore?
That's the million-dollar question.
I mean, they're already pouring tons of money into developing their own AI chips.
Right, they're not going to keep paying those high prices forever if they can help it.
So if they succeed, what happens to NVIDIA's earnings?
Well, that's where things could get interesting.
And potentially a bit dicey for NVIDIA investors.
It's all about understanding those underlying dynamics and not just looking at the numbers on the surface.
So it's about being a savvy investor, not just a number cruncher.
Exactly. It's about seeing the whole picture.
This is all pretty complex stuff.
It is, but it's fascinating stuff too.
It definitely makes you think.
And that's what we're all about here on the Deep Dive.
So how should we, the everyday investors, make sense of all of this and make smart decisions in a potentially rocky market?
Well, he does give us some guidance, and it all comes back to focusing on the fundamentals. But we'll delve into that right after we take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. And it all comes back to having a clear investment process. You know, it's not about chasing the latest hot stock tip or trying to time the market.
It's about having a plan.
Exactly. It's about really understanding what you own, why you own it, and how much it's actually worth.
So doing your homework, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And sticking to your plan even when things get a bit bumpy.
Don't get swayed by the hype.
Right. It's about making informed decisions based on your individual goals and risk tolerance.
Because everyone's situation is different.
Absolutely. And he also emphasizes the need for patience. You know, in a sideways market, those great opportunities might be few and far between.
Yeah, and it can be tempting to just jump at anything that looks promising.
It's like that saying, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Sometimes it's better to wait for the right opportunity than to settle for something mediocre.
So it's about being selective.
Right. Think of it like being a savvy shopper. You wouldn't just buy the first thing you see, would you?
No way. I love a good sale.
Exactly. You'd wait for the sales and get the best deals. It's the same with investing. Be patient and wait for those bargains to come along.
So patience is key. Got it. What else does he suggest?
But he also talks about increasing our margin of safety.
Margin of safety. That sounds kind of technical.
It might sound that way, but it's actually a pretty simple concept. Think of it like negotiating for a used car. You don't want to pay the sticker price, right?
Of course not. You always got to haggle a bit.
Exactly. You want to get a price that's well below what you think the car's really worth, just in case there are some hidden problems.
So margin of safety is like building in a cushion for error.
Exactly. It means buying stocks at a significant discount to their intrinsic value. This gives you some wiggle room in case your assumptions about the future turn out to be wrong.
Makes sense. It's like having a buffer to protect yourself from those unexpected bumps in the road.
Right. And here's something else he talks about that might surprise you.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Don't be afraid of cash.
Really?
Yeah.
Cash. But everyone always says to be fully invested.
I know it can feel counterintuitive, especially when the market seems to be going up.
It's like you're missing out on all the gain.
But in a sideways market where valuations are high, cash can be a powerful tool.
So it's about having flexibility.
Exactly. Having the ability to seize opportunities when they arise, it's like having dry powder ready to deploy when the time is right.
I like that analogy. Having an army of patient little dollars just waiting for the right moment.
And this brings us to another important point he makes. Don't be afraid to sell.
Selling. But that feels wrong when the market's booming.
I know it can feel like you're leaving money on the table,
Exactly.
but in a sideways market, selling can be a smart move, especially if you own stocks that have become overvalued.
So it's about managing risk.
Right, protecting your capital. Sometimes the best opportunities are found in not owning something. Think of it like pruning a garden. You need to get rid of the dead wood to make room for new growth.
Okay, this is all starting to make sense. But how do we know when a stock is truly undervalued? How do we determine the right margin of safety?
Those are great questions, and you're right, it's not always easy to figure these things out. That's why having a solid investment process is so important. It involves research analysis and developing a framework for valuing businesses.
So it's not about finding a magic formula or following some guru's stock picks?
No, it's about putting in the work and becoming a more informed and discerning investor. It's about learning how to think for ourselves.
It's a journey of continuous learning.
Exactly. It's about developing your own judgment and making decisions that align with your individual goals and risk tolerance.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground so far. We've talked about the characteristics of sideways markets, the economic forces at play, and some practical strategies for investing during uncertain times.
We've definitely delved deep into this topic.
But there's one more key insight from Katznelson's letter that we need to address: his warning about relying solely on P/E ratios to make investment decisions.
Ah, yes, that's an important one. We touched upon it briefly when we discussed NVIDIA, but it deserves a deeper dive.
Let's do it. It's time to unpack this P/E ratio puzzle. It's easy to get caught up in those numbers, especially when they're looking good. But as we discussed earlier, Katznelson cautions us about reading too much into P/E ratios alone, especially when markets might be overheated.
It's tempting to just look at that number and think, oh, this stock is cheap or this one's expensive.
Right. But it's not always that simple, is it?
Nope. Remember our NVIDIA example?
Oh, yeah, the chip powerhouse.
Even though it's currently trading at a seemingly reasonable 30 to 40 times its future earnings, Katznelson suggests that the E in that equation, the earnings part, might be a bit inflated at the moment.
Okay, so the price might seem okay based on those earnings, but what if the earnings themselves aren't as solid as they appear? It's like building a house on a foundation of sand.
Exactly. He's saying those earnings might not be sustainable in the long run.
So what makes him think that? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, his point is that NVIDIA is essentially the only game in town when it comes to certain types of microchips used in artificial intelligence.
Oh.
You know, the ones that are driving all this AI excitement.
Right, so everyone needs them.
And that means companies like Google, Apple, Tesla, they're practically forced to buy from NVIDIA, even at a premium price, because they don't have many other options.
It's like being stuck in a desert and stumbling upon the only lemonade stand for miles. You're so thirsty, you'll pay almost anything for a drink.
And that's what's happening with NVIDIA right now. They're the lemonade stand in the AI desert, and they're raking in the profits.
So those inflated prices are boosting NVIDIA's profits in the short term, making their earnings look fantastic, and in turn, making their P/E ratio seem reasonable.
But it's a bit of a mirage.
Oh, so it's not real.
Well, it's real for now, but Katznelson argues that this situation is actually creating a huge incentive for those other tech giants to develop their own alternatives. They're not going to keep paying those high prices forever if they can help it.
So they're going to start making their own lemonade.
Exactly. They're going to dig their own wells, and that's where things could get interesting for NVIDIA.
What happens to them when those alternative chip suppliers emerge?
That's the big question, and that's where the P/E ratio might start to tell a different story as competition increases and NVIDIA's dominance fades. Their earnings could take a hit, and that seemingly reasonable P/E ratio might not look so attractive anymore.
So it's like the price of lemonade goes down when there are more lemonade stands popping up.
Exactly. Supply and demand at work.
Okay, so what's the takeaway for us as investors? How can we avoid falling into this P/E trap, especially when so many people rely on this metric?
It all comes back to that process-driven approach we talked about earlier. We need to be more than just number crunchers looking at P/E ratios in isolation.
So we need to dig deeper.
Exactly. Instead of just looking at the number on the surface, we need to understand the story behind those earnings numbers. Are those earnings sustainable? Are they built on a real competitive advantage, or are they just a temporary phenomenon driven by unique market conditions?
So it's about being a detective looking for clues that might not be immediately obvious.
Right. We need to consider the bigger picture, the competitive landscape, the potential for disruption, and the long-term trends that could reshape the industry.
It sounds like we need to be asking tough questions and not taking those P/E ratios at face value.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to challenge assumptions even when everyone else seems to be on board with a particular company or trend. Remember, investing is about thinking for yourself and making decisions that align with your own goals and risk tolerance.
This has been a fascinating deep dive into Vitalik Katznelson's letter to his clients, even though he wrote it this past summer as a parting gift while he takes some time off from writing. His insights are incredibly relevant to us today. He really challenged us to think critically about the market, understand its cycles, and approach investing with a healthy dose of skepticism and a commitment to lifelong learning.
It's a great reminder that investing is a journey, not a destination.
Exactly. And if you enjoyed this deep dive and want to explore more of Castleson's insightful writing and podcasts, be sure to visit his website, investor.fm. You'll find a wealth of valuable resources there.
He's got some great stuff on there, definitely worth checking out.
And as we wrap up, we want to leave you with a final thought-provoking question to ponder. If Castleson is right about the potential for this sideways market to continue, how will you adapt your investment strategy to not only survive, but thrive in the years to come?
It's something we all need to be thinking about.
Food for thought. Thanks for joining us.